Today on Real Life Radio.
If you want to destroy Christianity tonight and go home, then discredit the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And it's over, ladies and gentlemen. The Bible says it's evidenced. The Bible says it's a fact. The world knows it. The problem is people don't want it. They don't like it. And yet it's the greatest news in the world.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, now in a message called The Evidence for Faith, continues his new series called The Why Series. From the skeptic who doubts what the Bible says is true to the Christian who wants to confirm what they believe, the Why series will both challenge and equip us on how to respond to the universal questions we all face in life. The most important question is inside of every single one of us. It's as common as life itself, and we set it in motion from the time we get out of bed till the time we end our day. It's called faith. And by nature, every human being is a faith-based individual. Well, what is faith? The Bible tells us not only what it is, but why we can't please God without it. So on this part of today's message, Pastor Jack goes on to say that for the Christian, our faith is not built on feelings or emotions, but it's the natural response to the evidence that Jesus Christ lived, He died, and He rose again. Jesus, of course, is who our faith is built upon, and through faith in Him, we can have a personal relationship with Him. And now in his message called The Evidence for Faith, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
If tonight you had to write down on a piece of paper, what is the object of your faith? Someone might say tonight, Darwinianism, the evolutionary theory, although that's kind of getting really hard to hang on to these days because science is debunking that left and right. But there's something you're hanging on to. There's an internal witness within us. We have to have an object regarding our faith. You guys, there should be an article, I think it is, or the image on the screen. This is absolutely, how many of you have been to Greece? Anybody been to Greece? Raise your hand. Excellent. Hopefully, when you were in Greece, you went to Athens. And if you went to Athens, you probably, I hope as a Christian anyway, you would have run to the Areopagus or Mars Hill. You're looking at Mars Hill. This is the ancient, famous Mars Hill of Greek culture, of debate. This was the, see that hilltop? And I'll show you more in a moment. That point was the epicenter of the greatest, highest education of ancient times. The smartest people in the world stood on that hill right there and debated one another. And you can go up there today, and there's actors doing that, or there's people actually doing it. There's Christians witnessing to people up there. That's where Paul the Apostle witness. Next image or video, I want you to see this. Look at this. There's the Acropolis. Mars Hill, look at it to the left. Down here with the people on it, see that? Look across the roadway. This is the famed Acropolis. And the Areopagus is going to be here. Right out of your Bible. This is what's left of ancient Greece. The believers had gone there for centuries to argue, and I love this. As Christians, we ought not to hide from the challenge. The ancient Christians went to the greatest halls of intellectual discussion and debate, and the chief among them was Paul the Apostle. What you're seeing Paul the Apostle walk through, the first century believers inhabited this region. Christianity was exploding at the epicenter of logic and reason. I want to ask you how and why. What was it that made the greatest thinkers of the ancient world and the greatest thinkers of that time? What was it that caused them to depart from their gods and embrace the God of the Bible? They were highly educated, brilliant philosophers, and they departed from their ancient traditional faith of the gods. And they wound up literally changing the world to the point that you're even here tonight if you study the roots of all of this. Listen, as you look at this loop, as you look at this, let me read this to you, and because you're looking at it. Acts 17, verse 16 is what you're looking at. Now, while Paul waited for them in Athens, his spirit was provoked within him when he saw that the city was given over to idols. There were gods all over that hilltop, and many of them are in the museums. You can see them today. Therefore, he reasoned in the synagogue with the Jews and with the Gentile worshipers and in the marketplace daily with those who had happened to be there. Then certain Epicurean and Stoic philosophers encountered him, that's Paul, and some said, "What does this babbler want to say?" Others said, "He wants to be a proclaimer of foreign gods because he preached to them Jesus and the resurrection." And they took him and brought him to the Areopagus. You're looking at it. Saying, "May we know what this new doctrine is of which you speak? For you are bringing some strange things to our ears. Therefore, we want to know whether these things mean. For all of the Athenians and the foreigners who were there spent their time in nothing else but to either tell or to hear some new thing." Then Paul stood up in the midst of the Areopagus and said, "Men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are very religious. For as I was passing through and considering the objects," listen, "the objects of your worship, I even found an altar with this inscription." Here it is. "To the unknown God. Therefore, the one whom you worship without knowing, him I declare to you. God, who made the world and everything in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in the temples made with hands, nor is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, since he gives to all life, breath, and all things. And he has made from one blood," friends, listen, "from one blood." 2,000 years ago, the apostle said that the creator God of the universe has made from one blood every nation. That, by the way, the word is ethnos. Have you ever heard of the word of ethnicity? From one blood, he has made every ethnic group. Does that mean that every one of us, irregardless of our pigmentation, are one blood? The Bible says so. Science just found this out not too long ago, ladies and gentlemen. Did you know that science, forensic hematology, can trace our lineage of blood back to one female? Did you know that? Do you know her name? Yeah, you do. One blood, every nation of men to dwell on all the face of the earth and has determined their pre-appointed times and the borders of their dwellings so that they should seek the Lord in the hope, that's faith, that they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as also some of your poets have said. For we are also his offspring. Therefore, since we are the offspring of God, we ought to not think of the divine nature as like gold or silver or stone, something shaped by art and man's devices. This is important because Christians, we do not believe in a created God. He's the uncreated God. Remember that. Truly, these times of ignorance God has overlooked, but now he commands all men everywhere to repent, that is, change their mind regarding their sinful life, because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness by the man whom he ordained. He has given assurance of this to all by raising him from the dead, Jesus. Listen to this man argue. He's speaking to the smartest guys in the world, and he said, "Hey, guess what? Guess what? We all came from one blood. And all of your idols and the gods that you have, that you've carved out and said, this is our God." He hit them right in their intellectual moment. You carve these images and you call them gods. You have a statue and you bow down to it. He said, "What are you doing? You guys are smart." And he introduces to them the concept of one God that is alive and has always lived, never had a beginning, and that he doesn't dwell in temples made with hands, that he is the God who created humankind and the heavens above and humankind that be out of one blood. And lo and behold, even today in the 21st century, the Bible is supported by our greatest scientific advancements. Faith is the natural response to evidence. He argued to the Athenians that you should put your faith in God because the evidence is this. Are you sitting down? The evidence, this is his argument. He told them, the philosophers, the evidence is the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. That's why you should believe in him. Now, you might say tonight, that is a faith statement. What is a faith statement? That Jesus Christ is risen from the dead. That's not a faith statement. That's a fact of history. Are you kidding me? Have you ever read Roman history regarding the resurrection of Jesus from the dead? They went crazy trying to cover that thing up. Get your hands on the Arco volume. A-R-K-O, I believe it is. Found in Constantinople, published later on, Arco volume. They're secular writings. They're not inspired writings. They're secular writings. But there's a great debate going on about this. What are we going to do about this magician that rose from the dead? This one of Nazareth called Jesus. And that goes through the trials of Herod and Pilate and all these things after Christ was resurrected from the dead. Listen, if you want to destroy Christianity tonight and go home, then discredit the resurrection of Christ from the dead. And it's over, ladies and gentlemen. You want to destroy Christianity and Judaism? Right now, disprove the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Bible says it's evidenced. The Bible says it's a fact. The world knows it. The problem is people don't want it. They don't like it. And yet it's the greatest news in the world. I'm looking at the clock right now. At moments after 8 o'clock tonight, we've got people from this church going through in different locations of the Southland just this day, today, dealing with death. A young child having drowned in a pool. And an old man that's lived a glorious life, 85 plus years. In one day. And someone comes along and says, listen, this is not the end. This is not over. He said, if you believe in me, though you die, yet shall you live. Because I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man comes to the Father but through me. He said, if I'm going to be buried in 3 days, I'll be resurrected from the dead. He laid it all out. You got to understand that, skeptic, doubter. You want evidence? Check this out. The man who said, they're going to arrest me, they're going to crucify me, but 3 days later, I'll be resurrected from the dead and the whole world's going to change. Keep your eye open. And it's exactly what happened. That's evidence. And then everybody who tried to cover it up, Rome tried to cover it up. The Jewish leadership tried to cover it up. The only ones that are completely clueless were the bumbling doofus disciples. I mean, you got to read the account in the four Gospels. These guys blundered from one end to the other. You think, oh, it was a scam by the disciples. Are you kidding? They were running around crying like little, they were crying. Panicking, grown men, it's over, he's dead, it's over. If it wasn't for the women that went to the tomb on Sunday morning, those guys would still be crying. It's amazing. The third thing is, why does faith generate controversy? It's been said that if you're going to have faith, you have to take a blind leap of faith. Have you ever heard that? Oh, you're going to believe in God, are you? Whew, boy, you drank the Kool-Aid, huh? Excuse me, wait, what do you believe in? Leprechauns, they're awesome. Unicorns, incredible. No, what is it? Really, what do you believe in? UFOs, whatever. Bring it up, think of it, throw it out there. You are not going to get a love letter from any one of those entities that you're dreaming about. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, faith in the God of the Bible is controversial because it's extreme. It's narrow. It's demanding. It's very, it's very intolerant of other religious attempts to try to link God to man or man to God. Would you agree? See, yeah, that's why I really had to have a hard time with this stuff. Not if you understand that God provided one sacrifice, not 10. Only one. One was enough. And that was himself. God offered up himself as a sacrifice to deliver us from our sins. And so any other way, wouldn't you think, would be an offense to God? If you can get to heaven by being good, then what was Jesus doing on the cross? If you can get to heaven some other way, by good works or by giving money to a charitable organization, helping global homeless or something, and then you're fine with God, then what in the world was God communicating in his book, and what in the world was Jesus doing on the cross? What a mistake that was. Are you with me? The Bible says we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why we need him. Faith, we all exercise faith. Can I say this respectfully? Is your faith controversial? Mine is, because my God's controversial. I mean, he doesn't look for a controversy. His existence creates controversy. Very much so. And you can go anywhere in the world and you can say anything you want. And as soon as you mention Jesus, you got an argument on your hands. Isn't that great? Don't you think it's great, though? I mean, seriously, I don't mean to offend anybody, but if you say, oh, you know, Buddha rocks, Buddha's awesome, Buddha's this, oh, well, okay, great, good for you. Who cares? Nobody cares. I'm just be honest. And if you're a Hindu, whatever, you know, it's knock yourself out. That's great. Nobody cares. The moment you mention Jesus outside of cussing, right, is, by the way, that's another thing. No one slams their foot in the door and says, Buddha, that hurt. No one hits their finger with a hammer and says, Mohammed, Mohammed. Nobody does that. People slam their face in the door and they scream. You know. Why is that? All around the world, by the way. I've seen it happen. Now, Jesus is controversial because he is the only way of salvation. The Bible, the entire Bible is written about him. It's vital we remember that. But you don't take a leap of faith to become a believer. I think you respond to what's reasonable and logical. God is a God of order and of intelligence. And he asks us to think. You don't leave your mind disengaged. I wrote something down. I don't know if this is going to work or not, but we'll see. On what basis do you use your bank? Anybody have a bank? Raise your hand if you put money in a bank. What are you doing putting money in a bank? No, what are you doing it? Why do you do that? But why do you put your money in the bank? Because it's safe? How do you know it's safe? Do you know anybody at the bank? Who's at the bank? You don't know. But you work hard and you wire it or you'd send it or they deposit it automatic in the bank. You don't even know if it's there until you pull it out, right? And you don't know. But you trust the bank so much so that they wire money to your world. You're trusting your company to get it over there that you work for. Okay, listen, I wrote this down. So we all trust the bank. You know what that means? We have faith in the bank. See, Mr. Atheist, Mr. Dawkins, you have great faith because you put your millions in the bank. That's faith. What's his object? The bank. That's where his identity is safe, at the bank. Because he doesn't have anything else. It's just his existence. What happens if the bank closes? What happens if somebody hacks it? See, your faith is only as good as the object in which you're putting your faith in, your trust in. On what basis do you use Amazon? Seriously. Here's my account number. Here's my banking number. Here's my social security number. Here's how many kids I have. Here's their names. Here's where I live. Here's my phone number. Here's my cell number. Are you hearing me?
Yes.
Well, I have faith in Amazon. I follow Amazon. Do you understand? We use faith all the time. And we think it's silly to have faith in God. And you think, listen, do you think that, as we mentioned last week, if you weren't here, go online, listen to it, whatever. Remember, science is not going to answer these questions. It cannot. That's not what science does, and it cannot do it. Number four, why does faith matter in life? Why does it matter? Who cares? Why does it matter? Because, for example, faith matters because the universe is so complex, it's so deliberate, that the mathematics of it all, for example, speak about a designer, speaks of an engineer. What about sustaining the universe as it operates? What about your own life, your own existence? What about the fact that the universe is expanding? That means it had a beginning. People who don't want to consider God will say, for example, it was the Big Bang. But nobody talks about who started the Big Bang. Who took the hammer and hit it and make it and made the bang? If you're a Big Bang person. The point is the origin, where'd it come from? It only works if you have a God that you entertain that is a created God. But I don't worship a created God. My God was around before anything was physical. My God doesn't live by a time. My God doesn't live by a clock. By the way, and I wrote this down as a note to myself. I'll just read it, see if it works. By the way, if you can get a non-believer to play a game with you, ask them this question. If you could pretend to choose a faith in any of the thousands of religions on earth, which one would you pick? I think that's a good question. This is pretty, I'm an atheist. It's okay. Let's play a game. Out of all the religions in the world, which one would you pick? You know what would be the last one they would pick? Yeah. Isn't that amazing? Christianity would be the last one they'd pick. Why? Because it's controversial? Just the mention of his name gets people going. I think that is a very telling question. If they're going to play a game and they're going to pick a religion, why would they go out of their way to avoid saying Jesus or Christianity? Because it is not an intellectual issue. It's a spiritual issue. That's why faith is important.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called The Evidence for Faith. Thanks for being with us today. The Evidence for Faith is part of Pastor Jack's new series called The Why Series. It's a group of specific messages that tackle the tough questions of life. And together, we'll discover the answers found in the Bible, which of course is our amazing roadmap towards meaning and purpose. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Hey, we're excited to announce that Pastor Jack is going to be hosting another Bible prophecy conference. It's called Behold He Comes. Special guests, Jan Markell, Amir Sarfati, and Pastor Barry Stagner. And you are invited to join us through our exclusive live stream pass. Now, the streaming pass gives you special access to watch the conference live on Saturday, September 11th, and includes 2 hours of additional pre-recorded interviews, teachings, and backstage access with the speakers for a $5 purchase. By the way, also Spanish and Mandarin Chinese translations are available. If you'd like more information and to get your streaming pass, simply visit beholdhecomes.org. We also have a special opportunity available for churches that would like to host this conference through a live simulcast event with their congregations to watch the conference together. Now, if your church is interested in hosting the Behold He Comes Prophecy Conference, or to find a church in your area hosting the event, simply visit beholdhecomes.org. That's beholdhecomes.org. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.